Sorry, my cat just bit me.
That's definitely going in.
Oh shit, sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm getting really distracted by this bloody cat.
George is being bitten by a cat.
Literally being attacked. My foot is not a mouse. He's literally, he is literally latching his jaws around my... Ow! Someone just walked behind me.
Yeah, they did, yeah. It's a bit like pantomime.
There she is. She's behind you!
She doesn't live here.
Oh, yes, she does.
George's conquest. Thought it was meant to be boys' night. Oh, caught in the act.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Midnight Runners London podcast. My name's George. I'm here with Geth.
Hey.
And JP.
Hiya.
JP, can you give us a quick reminder about why we're all here?
The premise is simple. We three meet, virtually of course, to bring you news from the community, keeping us connected while we're all apart. Each episode, we'll speak with a different member of London Midnight Runners to hear why they run. As always, we'll have some headlines and of course, Geth's got a game up his sleeve.
I think you're going to like the game, by the way.
Is it not the same game? It's not Man
Oh, no. I've done a special edition for this. And I think this time, rather than tell you guys what it is, I'm going to wait until our guest joins us because, well, let's just say it all will become clear later on.
I was getting into Mathlete or Athlete.
Oh, well, there might be more athletes and Mathletes on display.
I really enjoyed it because I felt like I had a significant advantage over everyone else playing.
Yours was a guess, right, George?
No, I knew the answer.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I mean, I sold it as a guess.
You're a cheat.
You can't accuse someone in a quiz of cheating just by knowing the answers.
If you're going to be on like Pythagoras and Fermat, you might be into sort of risky territory.
Was Pi a mathematician?
Pi's a number.
I think it's a letter.
Yeah, but they're all letters really, aren't they? Math is all letters.
Pi is just a letter, and then there was something, it was also attached to a number.
13 something, right? Or 1.3 something.
3.141718289.
No,
I've missed a few. Yeah,
you missed a few out. They came later.
I was near enough.
There's a good podcast I listen to called David Baddiel Tries to Understand, and it's basically him coming up with things that he doesn't understand. One of which was pie. He goes and like talks to an expert and gets him to kind of explain it in really layman's terms, and it's really quite funny because like. He kind of goes along with it, and then they go, yeah, and then this and this, and he's like, sorry, you've totally lost me, I've forgotten everything. And at the end, he has to try and explain it to another person that doesn't understand it, and then the expert, like, marks him out of 10. It's quite good.
That sounds like a good idea. So, in your day-to-day life, George, do you go about trying to find the answer to why? Or X. On the beach in Barbados, do you see a handful of shells and you're like, I'd really like to know the theorem behind these. Is that how your brain thinks?
Not all the time. I mean, I'm not Russell Crowe out of A Beautiful Mind. If you've seen that film, he goes a bit bonkers trying to do that and find patterns in everything. But I do that a little bit, I guess. I went to this place last weekend called the Flower Forest, which is basically exactly as what it says on the tin. And there were some plants. It was a bit like an upmarket and more outdoorsy garden centre when none of the plants were on sale. And they had some plants there that were in like spiral shapes. And there is a mathematical model that tells you why lots of things in the world gravitate towards that spiral shape, like the snail shells and things like that.
I feel a little like David Baddiel right now.
You'll have to explain it at the end.
Okay. Snails and posh garden centres. Equal Greek alphabet.
That's basically it, yeah. You got
sound
it.
Sound like Philomena Kunk. Have you ever watched that? Where she goes, she's like, next week I'll be finding out what stairs are. And it sounds exactly like that.
Oh, well, you know, feel really unintelligent now.
But I wouldn't worry, so do I.
None of this information is useful.
George, you want to tell us who our guest is today?
We gave a little teaser at the end of the last episode, it's a very, very cryptic one. So if anyone was able to figure out who we were talking about when we referred to him as the legs from Leeds, I'll be very impressed. But it is, of course, our esteemed leader, Mr. James Holt.
Yay! Amazing.
Are we excited about talking to James?
Very much so. Oh, jinx.
It'll be good to hear how he's getting on and get his take on running and all things Midnight Runners, because he's probably got more experience than most of us combined.
He'll also see it from a slightly different angle compared to most people, because most of us see it from a participation point of view and he sees it very much from an organisation point of view. He'll be able to tell us all the juicy behind the scenes gossip. He's all got plenty to say and a good Excel formula to share.
One of the exciting things about talking to James is he doesn't know what's going to come out of his mouth. So from that perspective, I think it's going to be quite fun to see what he says.
Particularly exciting when he's standing up in front of 150 people and doesn't quite know what's going to come out. James will be joining us a little bit later on in the show. But first up, as ever, we've got JP with some headlines.
Yes, and unless you are unfortunate enough to find yourself in Kent, you'll have seen snow was forecast for all of the UK this last week, and Midnight Runners could not get enough of it. Every form of social media informed us that you were out slipping and sliding about the ice and making the best of the winter whiteout. No doubt Ben Larwar is laughing from the snow-capped mountains he's been locking down on these past few months. Midnight Runners turned six. Can you even believe it? And whilst we won't be repeating last year's tomfoolery of a treasure hunt around London Bridge and Borough, we're more than happy to raise a glass, say cheers, and eat some damn cake. Happy birthday, Midnight Runners. Garrett, Richard, Sammy, Emma, Natalia, Hannah and Dan have all taken part in the 10-in-1 Midnight Runners Challenge. The rules are simple. Run 10K in a 1 kilometre radius from your starting point with no crossing over. If you've not yet done yours, why not? Go lace up your trainers and get it done. And finally, Midnight Runners has a new website. The fresh new look is courtesy of Sammy, and we can highly recommend checking it out. Do let us know what you've been up to and drop us an email at midnightrunnerspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that is strange that it didn't snow in Kent, because it seemed to snow everywhere else in the country, including the southeast. Is it to do with Brexit and the fact that, you know, lorries aren't allowed in and snow is not allowed in either? Is it something like that, or is it...
I reckon that'll be it. Yeah, you fit the nail on the head there, Gethin.
Yeah, that's the direction that the snow came from, right? It came from Europe and it got stopped at the border.
It's all strange. In a queue in Calais.
That's cool, that 10K and 1K thing. How does that work then?
I did it the other day and I'd highly recommend it to people, you know, struggling to get up the motivation to go out running, because it's an extra little challenge as well as just getting out there and doing a run. So from wherever you choose to start, from there you can't go more than a kilometre away. So imagine drawing a circle around your starting point with a radius of 1 kilometre, and you have to stay within that circle. It's actually quite tricky to get 10K in that kind of reasonably small area without crossing over yourself, but it was good fun.
That's cool. I'm going to go and check out Strava after this and see if I can find anybody's routes, because it might give me a bit of inspiration to do my own version around here.
They look like little Tetris blocks for someone that enjoys the linear. What am I trying to say? They just look great. If you go onto Strava, it's really nice and artistic.
I think if anybody does it, they should challenge themselves to do it while singing the Tetris theme tune all the way around. You know, dun, 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 dun. I think you could do that for however long it takes you to run 10K.
Oh, God. I feel it'll send you slightly insane.
Just have a look at the website too, and you're right, it looks awesome. And there's some really good posts on there, some really good blogs around lockdown running and strength training for runners from Olga.
I think both things kind of act as a bit of a reminder that although we can't meet up and run together, the community is still there. Midnight Runners is still there, kind of in the background, waiting for that time when we can meet up and run again.
Yeah, true. And a word as well, as you say, JP, for the sixth birthday, great milestone for the community. And really look forward to being able to celebrate a magnificent seven in better times, hopefully next year.
Fingers crossed.
Jack with a bang. Several bangs.
I wondered what other bangs you were insinuating at this point.
I don't even want to touch on that, JP. Swiftly changing the subject there. Should we get our guest on?
Let's do it.
All right. Today's guest is a man we all know and love. A captain among captains. He's the leader of London Midnight Runners and the owner of MR's most famous pins. Of course, it's the king of the track, James Holt. James, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, George and the gang. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm well. This is very, very surreal. But, you know, difficult times calls for new ways of communicating. So here we are on the internet with our headsets on. I do have my super nerdy gaming headset on for maximum audio file.
But look, your earmuffs are as big as your head.
That's what she said.
And it's a mighty fine headset that you're wearing as well, I have to say. I've got on my Zoom, next to each other, I've got Gethin and James. James has these absolutely enormous pilot-style earphones covering his whole ears. And Gethin has these tiny, tiny little things that barely even seem to cover his ears. I feel like, Geth, you need to upgrade your tech.
I think that might be more of a reflection on my ears than the headset.
George, we should never judge by the size of things, should we?
No headset shaming.
Moving swiftly on.
Have you had a good day?
I have done two performance reviews of my team, who are now no longer my team as I've moved roles. So I don't have to faff around with any of the bureaucracy of people management at work, which is quite a nice thing to draw a line under.
I thought that was taking another turn.
I've done two performance reviews and I won't have to do any more because I fired them.
Not up to scratch? Get out. No questions asked.
Fortunately, this is your last people review.
I've decided to promote myself. So I no longer need to look after you.
Is it just me or does James keep turning green?
James is very green.
Well, that was deliberate. I thought he was showing off his IT skills.
It's very, very distracting. Looks like he's in a some kind of nuclear disaster happening in Woolwich.
Like, what do you mean, turning green?
Your whole screen is green. It looks like you're in, like, flubber or something.
It's not on purpose. Hold on. Is that any better?
You're in a different position on my screen, but still the same colour.
Still the same shade of very, very bright green.
Oh, dear. Well, it's been fine on my work laptop. I just
You mean is that nobody has pulled you up on it. You were giving performance reviews earlier and you were bright green. You're like, sorry, you're out. We need people in this company who are technologically competent and you're just not cutting it.
I don't want to, like, derail the conversation. Really,
this is the conversation now, James.
This is mostly what happened.
I love how if you don't sort this out, in the back of your mind for the entirety of the podcast, it's going to be eating away at you.
Okay, hold on, let me just plug it in another hole.
Excuse me? James is no longer visible, but when he comes back, hopefully, he'll be back to the beautiful colour that he normally is, which in the midst of the UK winter is probably best described as pale. James, one of the things we like to do with our guests is to kind of give you some primer questions. So question number one, we are currently coming to the end of January. So Veganuary or Dry January?
I'm going to go Veganuary. Not much of a drinker anyway. Dry January would be a bit of an easy win. We've all watched enough Dave Attenborough programmes to know that we need to cut down. And I can confirm that Beyond Burgers are now less than £5 and are actually very tasty. So I'm committing to Veganuary. Informally committing. Don't hold me to that.
I've heard them say on other podcasts that when they mention products, they get sent free samples. Do you think that will happen for us?
If we say it enough times, Beyond Burgers, Beyond Burgers, Beyond Burgers.
Do they deliver to Barbados?
Not sure about the importation tax.
Okay, I'll just keep on eating my
cat.
Linda McCartney's then.
Did you say cat?
Question number two, treadmill, tarmac, track or trail?
I'm overwhelmed by the question. There's so many great things in there. I'm going to go with trail at the moment. As a normal road runner, I think trail is a bit of novelty at what we all need whilst we're stuck at home and the tracks are closed and or covered in ice. So I think trail is my answer. Final answer. Lock it in.
Nice.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, Chris.
Jeremy.
Yeah, be careful you don't get on his bad side. You get a punch to the face. Especially if you give him a Beyond Burger. Question number three. For your next marathon, you have to wear either the original Reebok Float Rides or knee-length running shorts. Which do you choose?
Oh, no. This isn't an official endorsed by Reebok podcast, is it?
It is if they give us free stuff. Reebok, 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 Reebok.
Beyond Reebok, Beyond Reebok. I would go for the Reebok Float Ride. Firstly, it is genuinely a good shoe. And secondly, long shorts just restrict movements in ways I am not okay with.
I would like to delve deeper into that, but this is a family show, so I won't. We We ask all of our guests the same kind of single question, and you can take it wherever you want to take it. And the question is, why do you run?
In my mind, I'm sort of setting out a bullet point list, maybe even a PowerPoint slide or two that kind of maps out the various facets to running. I'll just kind of pick off a few of the basic ones. Probably number one is mental well-being. I think, especially now whilst we're in lockdown, just getting out, it's just been a godsend to be able to kind of run and not have to think about stuff, or run and think about stuff. I have always felt better going on a run. I think reason number two, physical health. Running's a relatively easy sort of thing to get into, low barriers to entry, just need a pair of shoes. It keeps me in decent shape, which I think is important and just keeps you moving. Let's go for reason number three, like the social aspect. I think obviously the community that is Midnight Runners has given me so much, and the connections that we've all built and kind of grown over time has been amazing. And not that that's unique to running, but it's certainly very different to kind of running when I first started, which was just doing things on my own. So I'm just very grateful that it's connected with me with all of you guys.
Running is considered a very solo sport. So actually to say that there is a real social connection that comes with it and that's why you run, I think is really important. And I'd love to ask if you could delve further into the social aspect.
I think it's a preconception. It's not necessarily wrong. It probably is in the periphery of running. When people are trying to find the sport, they think about, I'll join an athletics club, because that's what they understand running to be. And maybe they picture people in vests and taking things very seriously. I think it's only been in the last few years where running has been a bit more sort of cool and accessible, and it's done by people as more of a hobby and less of a athletic pursuit. I think we have been in like transformative times for running, where it's certainly moved into the mass market, and that social element has always been at the forefront of it. Groups like Midnight Runners and founding running communities in London and other cities have done great things in making it feel cool and accessible.
You compare Midnight Runners to a traditional running club or really many other running groups, and we haven't really started from the place of running. We've started from the place of, let's bring people together. Running clubs are typically based around, let's all be as fast as we can be, what are your times? And that isn't as inclusive. Midnight Runners is different just in of itself.
And James, you mentioned it twice now. I want to ask you, what do you think has made running cool?
That is a good question.
Is it the fact that if we refer it to Midnight Runners and the example that Geth has just given, there seems to be less of a competitive streak as a community? So whilst we as runners can be competitive against ourselves, is it that there is more of an opportunity for community within running? Or is running now cool because you don't necessarily have to be a good runner to enjoy running?
It's moved from being this like anorak sport where people took it very seriously. Yes, running has become more cool because it's become less competitive. But then I also think about the kind of events that companies like Run Through put on. They're cased as these family events, and you get families, you get buggies, you get dogs. The whole thing is just lovely. And the same with Parkrun. And people aren't going there checking the leaderboards and checking their times too much. They're giving out flapjacks and it's all just very pleasant. So I think it's been a nice evolution that's been both the brands, organisers, whether that's clubs or events, and people themselves just giving it a go. And maybe it's just reached that critical mass where, oh, well, if I can see whoever running around the park, maybe I can do it too. And then bad memories of running cross country around a field at school start being replaced by something that's actually positive and easy thing to do.
I think that's really interesting, and particularly that point around running at school, because if it's exactly what you just said there, James, it's cross country running around a field and everyone goes, oh, I don't want to do this, except for the one or two weird kids that are either really good at it or for some reason really, really like it. Actually, when you run around on the street, when you're a little bit older and there are other people running along, you nod at them. And in that sense, running isn't a solo sport at all, because people recognize that somebody else is doing the same thing. Certainly when we grew up, you had to grow into running in the sense that you had to enjoy it outside of school, because at school it was horrible. And I don't think that's the case anymore. And it would be interesting to hear from people that are at school at the moment to see whether that stereotype and that stigma is still there.
As the head of MR in London, you are quite a big name in the London running scene. You describe running as having become a sport that's kind of cool and with fewer people wearing vests. So my question to you, James, is what contribution do you think that you have made to that shift?
What I've personally done is it's probably been in the right place at the right time. So I joined Midnight Runners quite early on in its journey. I think it had been going for 4 or 5 months, and there's about 20 or so people when I came along, and this was absolutely sort of showing to me how great running could be and what I was missing out on when I was running on my own. Is if you go out on your own, it becomes a lot about the performance. You want to run as fast as you can and you want to get faster because that's a metric that is kind of obvious. But once you start realizing this is a conduit for change in other aspects of my life, whether that's having clarity to think or meeting people or getting in nature, it just opens your mind to what running could be. And when I first joined Midnight Runners, the first Tuesday run, that's what I got from it. So I just thrived off the energy, and I'd like to think that I also gave that back into the community as well. Then sort of fast forward a few months, I was kind of more involved in leading the runs and the boot camps. It helped a lot with my confidence. And then kind of to now heading up London, I think a big community like this, when normally we're doing lots of events during the week, it does need a little bit of organization. And I think it's not fun and sexy, but that is something that I am competent at. So I like to think that I can bring people together and facilitate ways to bring people together and connect our community, whilst hopefully being a positive face that shows that you can have that performance element to running, but also very much putting the enjoyment, fun and socializing there in equal measures.
Our members won't necessarily know that you were, you know, slightly different in your character before. Interested to hear your thoughts on how MR kind of helped you with that.
I think I would be remiss if I didn't use this opportunity to thank Greg and Christian for founding Midnight Runners those 6 years ago. It's changed my life in so many ways. And I think kind of finding my voice and finding my confidence has been huge. And my professional career has jumped on leaps and bounds. And I put that solely down to Midnight Runners, because I've been able to get more comfortable talking to people, whether that's someone new or whether it's presenting to a wider group. You're doing things outside of your comfort zone. You're kind of learning quickly on the job and figuring out different ways to communicate with people. And all of that stuff's transferable, not just into like corporate life, but just the way that you interact with a diverse range of people as well. I think, without trying to make it too serious, but the whole echo chamber effect that we're getting with the news that we consume on Facebook or wherever it might be, and you start thinking, the algorithms, man, those algorithms, they're encouraging this extreme views or whatever it might be, and it's splitting people apart. And then you just need to kind of come in and just speak to a open-minded group of people that you meet at Midnight Runners who are from different walks of life and doing different jobs. And I just found that really helpful for me, feel more comfortable in any situation going forward. It's been a big journey, and I do put it down to Midnight Runners. I do have to kind of pinch myself sometimes when you're stepping up in front of a couple of hundred people and I can't just wing this. And then you go, well, actually you can, because there's this mutual respect. I respect the community, and I think that that respect is kind of back at me. And we both know that we're all here to have a great time. So there's no loser here.
There've probably been moments where you've gone, oh crap, I've got to talk to 300 people in a minute and I haven't thought about what I'm going to say.
Yes, I will admit to that. They're not pre-scripted jokes. The dad jokes just come naturally.
London was obviously the first Midnight Runners chapter, and then Greg and Jody initially went off to different countries to set up other clubs in other cities, and you and Joel took over the reins in London. And then Joel has obviously since moved on to be kind of a more central figure in Midnight Runners Global, with you taking over sole responsibility for London. I think it's true to say that London is the only chapter since that point that has continued with the same head all the way through. And I think that's like a massive positive reflection on you, James, the fact that you have managed it so well that it's something that you still love, while still putting so much into it and developing it and moving it forward.
And it still grows, right? And people still love coming back. Having it evolved for so long, James, what is it that keeps driving you to be the pinnacle and be the head of London Midnight Runners? And what more do you feel like you still have to achieve in that role?
Firstly, thanks for the kind word. I couldn't have done it without the great group of people, not only the crew that help organise, but also the community who have given back. And as I said before, like the energy is shared, like we feed off it. And what's kept me coming back, Geth, is it's the people first and foremost. And secondly, it's a sense of purpose. My professional life is very corporate. And you could argue either way, is like, am I doing good in the world? Am I making a positive difference? And of course you like to think that you are, but it's absolutely without a shadow of doubt a yes when I think about Midnight Runners. So whatever's going on with work, however arbitrary the work I'm doing is, I know that I'm kind of connecting people with Midnight Runners or giving people a platform to showcase their skill or solve a problem in a unique way or give someone else a voice. Even things like the member stories, it's given people insight and it's given them little nuggets of conversation that they can pick up on, and who knows what can come out of that. And you know, you just don't get those kind of opportunities in a corporate job. For me, trying to quantify happiness, in my mind, you need to have something that's bigger than yourself. Work can never be that. I think something like a community can. So I can't see myself going anywhere in Midnight Runners. I'd always encourage other people to get involved and help out. And I will absolutely open my arms to that and working with new people. But I'd always like to be involved in some way, as long as Midnight Runners will have me.
The London chapter now, obviously, Greg and Christian deserve an enormous amount of credit for starting the whole thing. Jody and Joel deserve a lot of credit for continuing the growth of the club. But I think almost more than anyone now, the club has been shaped by you over the last few years. You just need to look around on a Tuesday, and especially on a Thursday at track, to see how happy people are, how friendly everyone is, and how open everyone is. And I think a lot of that is down to your input.
I can't accept that. I really can't. It's a lovely thing to say, and I'm actually grinning ear to ear and going quite red. But our strength is in the group that we have, and I've never liked the idea of a person being a focal point, because it's a point of failure. If you think about it in business terms, like you wouldn't want to have that, would you? Even just looking at the people that we have on this Zoom call, we're all bringing different things to the table, and the community and the ways that they give back, whether it's, you know, engaging with us on social media or it's speaking to that first timer on a Tuesday. We're all helping keep Midnight Runners what it is, which is a welcoming place to make new friends and stay fit on the side. So I couldn't do it without the group of people around. I'm so grateful that people are willing to give up their spare time and their evenings and some of their weekends to keep making Midnight Runners happen. And I think they do it because they know that it's a fair exchange of value. And we have these kind of crew meetings where we'll sit around a big table and we'll debate and we'll plan and we'll critique. And as volunteers, that can seem quite full on. But what we're getting out of this is something that's just a treasure trove for all of us and all of the community that we can just keep enjoying. And I think you've got to, is there an analogy here about kind of trimming your garden? I don't know, but
no, absolutely not.
I'll be honest, James, I thought you were going to come up with some absolutely gold final line. And I was about to say, on that note, let's move on.
Is there anything that you would like to say to the listeners out there that haven't heard your booming voice on a Tuesday evening for the last almost year?
I'd like to say to everyone, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, how much I've missed just having the people around. I always thought of myself as an introvert, and you touched on it earlier, Geth, how MRs affected me, but I've realised how much I thrive off the energy of the people around me, and being around conversations happening, you can't help but feel energised and kind of reaffirms how good life can be, seeing so much positivity. I miss that. So I'd like to say how much I'm looking forward to having that again with the community.
Are there any aspects of running that you're perhaps not so good at that the listeners might empathise with? I'm particularly thinking about getting yourself around certain places.
I feel like I've been taken down a path here and it's been a slightly leading question.
It's okay, James, because you probably don't know where you are anyway.
Yes. However much I want to try and I want to believe that I am good in this area, I am terrible at navigation. And there has been more occasions than I care to remember where I have taken myself the wrong way. I've taken groups of others the wrong way, even the streets that we run once a week for, you know, 5-6 years.
Speaking of knowing where we're going, Geth, can you tell us where we're headed next on the podcast?
Shall we play a game? It's not been played before and it might never be played again. This week's game is called Bolt or Halt.
Nice. I like it.
What I've done over the last day or so is I've been through the legacy tweets of Mr. James Holt and Mr. Usain Bolt. And I found various tweets. And I'm going to read a few out. And I want you to tell me whether they're a tweet by James the Legs Holt or Usain the Lightning Bolt.
This is amazing.
I honestly have no idea what I could have tweeted. I've not logged into my Twitter for 6 years. I am intrigued and concerned in equal proportions, Gethin.
Absolute treat.
First up, hopefully an easy one to start with. I love Dropbox because it is amazing.
Usain Bolt, famously a fan of online storage solutions.
What are we saying, guys?
A James.
There's got to be a Holt.
James?
I feel like this is one of those things where it's like, you know, tweet about a thing and we'll give you some free credits. This was
your very first tweet in January 2011 by James the Legs Holt. Okay.
I am still a Dropbox user, so if anyone wants a referral code, hit me up.
Okay, next up. Doing an ice bath right now for 6 minutes. Don't try this at home, lol.
That's a tricky one. I don't feel like James would be a massive user of the acronym LOL.
Or maybe LOL doesn't refer to laugh out loud, as we know, and instead it is long old legs.
That was legs very quick. For the listeners, Jess hasn't edited that out. There was no long silence there. She was quick off the mark.
What are we saying, guys?
Absolutely a halt.
I'm going to go for Bolt on that one.
James?
I can't ever think of a time where I've taken an ice bath. It was a Bolt.
That was Usain, the man himself, in June 2011. No retweets, no likes.
Famously, also, though, he is long on legs, so...
He is.
I've got a few more. Okay. Drop my camera whilst on a trampoline. There was actually a video that accompanied this one.
I think I've got some inside insight on this one. After the look of absolute horror that James once gave me when I picked up my phone by the USB cable that was plugged into it, he was like, you can't pick it up like that, you'll drop it. And so I don't think he's the kind of man that would take a camera on a trampoline. He's too protective of his technology, so that's a Bolt for me.
Okay, JP?
I'm going with Holt.
And James?
I remember this event. I did have a camera on the trampoline, George, I'm sorry to say. I honestly didn't realise I was a Twitter user at this point. This must have been post 3 of 6. But luckily, George, it wasn't action camera, so it wasn't one that would have any problems with being bounced around.
That was indeed a James Holt tweet. So I think it's the first one you've got wrong, George. you're on for a clean sweep. Call of Duty is the best game ever made.
Ooh, can you play Call of Duty on a PC? I've got literally no
yes.
idea. Okay, I'm going Holt then.
JP?
I'm also going Holt.
James?
I am going Bolt.
Yeah, this I slightly was a bit disingenuous because at the end of the tweet sort of gives it away because it says, Call of Duty is the best game ever, big man thing.
Oh, brilliant. So me and JP got it right. It was James.
Did you enjoy Bolt or Holt?
Absolutely loved it. That was in my top two favourite games we've played on the podcast so far.
Fantastic. So lots to live up to.
You've given me an opportunity now to go back to my Twitter and see actually, well, how many tweets did I send out and should I get back into it?
According to Twitter, 95, but lots of them weren't visible. So I think you've done a lot of deleting if there were indeed 95 tweets.
95? I'm honestly amazed.
Usain Bolt, on the other hand, has done nearly 7,000. So as you can imagine, finding ones that were remotely similar to what you might tweet was quite the challenge.
I'm already offended at what search terms you thought would be representative of me.
That was fantastic. Thank you very much, Geth. And I'm delighted that I'm still in the lead in our head-to-head on the games, JP. But we'll have another one next week, see if you can draw level. But James, thank you so, so much for joining us. It's been absolutely brilliant to talk to you. And we cannot wait to hear you shouting at us on the South Bank again before too long.
I can't wait for that as well. And thanks for having me, all of you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
interesting listening to James talk about his confidence. And as somebody that only joined 2 years ago, I never knew a James that wasn't confident. So it's remarkable to hear that a running community has done that for him.
Minnow Runners has definitely given me a bit more confidence. I think it's really good to hear that that's the same for somebody who leads the community like James. And hopefully that gives everybody else a bit of inspiration and understanding that if people are standing up at the front, they're not always necessarily the most confident, and they might have got that from coming to the community itself. So always great to hear from James, and fantastic to have him on. George, do you want to tell us about who we're going to get on next time?
Next up, we've got one of our members whose race schedule has been disrupted by COVID. She was meant to run the London Marathon last year. Obviously, that got cancelled. She did do the virtual marathon. So we're going to find out what that was like and what her plans are for when, hopefully, races are possible again.
Interested as to who that might be. That's a lot more cryptic than last time. And I know there was a few people that were due to run the marathon last year and end up doing the virtual marathon.
That can't be an easy thing to complete. Looking forward to that one.
Until then, guys, take care, stay safe, and keep running. Bye.
Bye. Bye.